Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
You're welcome back to the programme. A new organisation needs to be created if the merger of the GAA, Camogie Association and Ladies Gaelic Football Association is to be underpinned by equality. That's according to a new policy review published just today, and Dr. Aoife Lane is the head of Department of Sport and Health Science at the Technological University of the Shannon and is one of the authors of the review, and I'm delighted to say she joins me now. Dr. Aoife Lane, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hi, Cormac. How are you?
Not too bad at all. So there's talk of a merger, obviously, and your research says if that is to happen, there should be a completely new organisation, right?
Well, I suppose what we're looking at is building a new association for Gaelic Games. You could have a very similar model in lots of respects. We still have the club system. We still have an inter-county system. We still have our games, which is the main thing. You know, we still have our players playing it. We have our coaches, our referees. But we might just need to look at how we do things in terms of maybe representation of women in that, maybe layers of decision making. So it's a new organisation, but I guess it's not to say that we throw away everything that we have, because we would be retaining a lot of the same. And sometimes when you say something new, you already put people off. And the level of change we're proposing in the report will probably scare some people, but I think it's very important to assure that the important things will stay the same.
And I suppose that's
what the decision makers need to think about.
Okay, so on that note, not to scare people, but what are you proposing in terms of change?
Well, I guess one of the main things would be female representation and kind of having quotas to deliver upon that. So in most organisations worldwide, in the sporting context, females are hugely underrepresented. I suppose the GAA Management Committee would have 20% females. It's better in ladies football in Camogie. 20% of coaches are females. I think it's less than 20% of coaches are referees in ladies football in Camogie even. So we would be looking at all layers of the organisation that you're really trying to reach that 30% baseline. So there is a new 40% quota coming in from Sport Ireland for the board, the management committees of all organisations. Mm-hmm. We feel that that needs to go across every layer of the organisation, from your clubs to your counties to your provinces to your subcommittees. That's a big change. Clubs are doing okay, but in between there's probably a lot of change.
I was going to ask you, what about a name change? Could it still be the Gaelic Athletic Association, but with the rules and quotas and so on fundamentally changed underneath?
It could be, and we're actually really enjoying the debate, because I think this is what we need. We need people to embrace this and own it. There's too much probably happening that we're not really hearing about, or maybe it's peripheral to other things. Like, the interesting things are what's happening on the pitch. I'm the same as everybody else. You know, it's the games at the weekend. So today has been brilliant because it's provoked a lot of debate. In our little group, like Katie Liston, Conor Myler and myself, we would probably have differing opinions on the name change. It's interesting. I would see myself as a GAA person, and a lot of, you know, you'd see a lot of stories among Camogie players and ladies footballers, and they might use the word GAA a lot. Even though we're actually, when I played, I was a member of the Camogie Association. So there's a funny identity thing there in Gaelic games that probably needs a lot of understanding, a lot of depth. But I think conversation is the main thing that's really positive here.
And the average Camogie or ladies Gaelic football or GAA person, I think, is enjoying the surge in women's Gaelic games anyway. And in a way, this is the structural bureaucratic stuff, for want of a better word. But it still is important, because you come to questions like financing or funding the games then, and how that would be done in a new organisation.
Yeah, and you're right. God, when you're playing in your club or even at inter-county level now, and the GPA have done a really good job there in terms of merging, you don't really see any difference. Like, I'm as parochial and local about my club, whether it's a boy or a girl wearing the jersey. And I would say that's the case around the country. You know, we're all very parochial there. So what we would be looking at is, I suppose, the people above us, the decision makers, to kind of go, okay, let's develop an organisation that can deliver upon this. And you're right, it will need a different funding model. If you look at our report, the annual revenue for the GAA is in around 96 million. It's probably not even near 10 for the two women's organisations combined. That's a serious, like, there's a serious difference there that is going to have an impact in terms of investment subsequently in our games.
Pick up on that, Aoife, isn't there, in terms of it's been spoken about more, the lack of facilities for women's games, be it Gaelic games or any other code as well. But would it mean in a new organisation that it would simply have to happen that funds that would normally go to men's Gaelic games would be diverted to women's?
Yeah, and to be fair, like the government have tried to build that in. I think where we've probably lapsed is the accountability of it, you know, following through on, you know, if Galway, I'll take my own county, are building a new facility and we get government funding, there will be terms attached to it in terms of equal access, but it's the accountability thereafter. And the GAA own all the pitches, so there would need to be a good discussion there around clubs owning them, the collective owning them. And in most cases, everybody in our clubs gets access to pitches. Now, Dublin is different, you know, it is really challenging. But sometimes it's about the prioritisation, like, you know, who's getting the priority for that pitch access. And sometimes the girls can be way down that list. So the small things there that don't actually cost money at all, that we really just need to, I suppose, tease out and probably monitor and reflect on and be accountable to it, because we talk a lot about it, but this is what we want. We want this kind of change where this is just now how we do things.
Yeah, and finally, is this change imminent? Is it about to happen?
I think it's one of the things in our report, and it's the other big recommendation, is this is going to be a long-term process. It was probably the real grounding thing for me in it. A merger could happen in a couple of years, but full integration might take a long time beyond that. And that's what we've learned from business, from sport, from education, that we really have to plan for the piece beyond it. Things will not change overnight. So, I mean, I think there's ambition within the three organisations that we'll deliver upon something soon. I suppose we'd be very, you know, we're trying to be constructive here and presenting something to help that process. But
yeah,
I just think full integration in terms of everything we've talked about there might take a while.
Okay, I'd love to know what people think on all of this to 51551. Dr. Aoife Lane, Head of the Department of Sport and Health Science at TU Shannon. Thank you very much indeed.